The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
So, David, one of the perennial, if I can put it that way, questions that comes up about Christmas with a lot of people, and sometimes especially with evangelicals, is about the origin of some of the celebrations and associations with paganism and, you know, so on and so forth. And we'll touch on some of the trimmings in a moment, but can we just start by just help us understand just briefly how the early church began to celebrate Christmas, roughly at what point that started to happen as a sort of formal festival, when it kind of adopted the date and began to mark this particular time in the calendar.
Yeah, you're right. There is a lot of debate about this, and oftentimes this time of year you will read articles in magazines or there'll be programs on TV, documentaries about the history of Christmas. And there is a running narrative, which is popular, and even many Christians will buy into this, that basically around the late 300s or the middle of the 300s, the church took a pagan holiday, which was celebrated around the time of the winter solstice, the Sol Invictus celebration, and just simply turned that into a Christian celebration, the birth of Christ. I think more recently with Dan Brown's books, the idea has become more popular that Constantine just sort of made this up. You know, he declared we're going to celebrate Christmas and just took over some of the pagan holidays, Christianized them. But there's really no evidence for that in history about the way that Christians came to that date and the nature of the celebration. Now, when it comes to the history of this question, the origins of Christmas and how the church calendar took shape and the nature of the celebrations, it is difficult. A lot of the evidence, especially early on, is pretty scant. And so historians sometimes are guessing, sometimes are filling in gaps. So I think we just need to be careful there. We don't have lots and lots of evidence. Now, if you think of the history of the early church, before the time of Constantine, the church is an illegal church. Christianity is an illegal religion. Christians are meeting together, usually in secret for worship, sometimes more publicly, depending on the time and the place. But the church just isn't in a position, because it doesn't have legal recognition, to be thinking about things like building huge churches, having elaborate celebrations, these kinds of things, because they're a minority, they're being persecuted. So I think quite naturally we recognize that as Christianity becomes more dominant and is recognized as religion, some of these more institutional things and regular things take shape. Yeah. So that's just, I think, the nature of the course of history, and that's often how things go. In terms of the date of Christmas, it is good to think about that, and there's a real debate amongst historians about why December 25th became the date to celebrate the Feast of the Nativity or Christmas. The one view, and this is often referred to as the history of religions view, is that Christianity simply syncretized with the pagan celebrations and Christianized them. And that has been the dominant view for the 1800s, 1900s. But I would say in the last 50 years or so, and there were a few early works in the early 20th century that called that interpretation into question, and instead took seriously a lot of the evidence from early Christian writers who were concerned with chronology and chronography. So just writing about time and dates. And this was a concern for Christians. It's always been a concern for Christians because our faith is rooted in history. Mm-hmm. So dates and times matter. They're important to us. It's well known that Jesus was crucified and then raised on the third day during the Passover. So we know the date of his death, and over time it was determined that March 25th was the time of was Good Friday, the first Good Friday. So Christians recognized that that was the date. Now, there was lots of debate about the date of Easter, and I won't get into all of that. It's not relevant right now, but the end of March is when Christians celebrated the death of Christ, the resurrection. That's Easter. There was a view in the ancient world that not only Christ, the incarnate deity, but holy men, and this was the view of even the patriarchs, that their lives were perfect lives, so that they died on the date of their birth. Their life came to a full completion. There's no partial years. And given that view, the idea emerged that, well, surely then Christ would have started his life, the moment of the incarnation began at the same time as his death. So even today in the Roman Catholic Church, the Feast of the Annunciation is March 25th. So that's when the conception, the incarnation began. Well, you just work forward 9 months and you're at the end of December. And right. That's why Christians were celebrating it. Had nothing to do with, it was a coincidence that there was also a pagan holiday
at that time.
The other question in all of this is the nature of this celebration of the sun god and the pagan holidays surrounding that. We don't have much evidence for that before the 300s either.
For the pagan festival itself?
No.
Right.
So some scholars suggest that even the pagan holiday was put there precisely because Christmas was there. The reverse.
Right.
So it's always interesting when you're looking at history. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the idea that Constantine made Christmas, you know, this is the date and we're all going to celebrate this. There's no evidence for that. And the very city that he founded, Constantinople, didn't publicly recognize the celebration of Christmas until 380, long after his death. So if he was somehow behind this,
he did a bad job.
Very strange that.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.